Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
Welcome to our 650 AM WSM Coffee Country and Cody podcast. Hi, it's Charlie Matos. Well, it was Thursday, October 28th of 2010. We would be joined at our 1932 Tower location by Marshall Chapman, one of my favorite people and certainly one of the more talented and interesting folks you will meet in Music City. Marshall, not only with a new CD called Big Lonesome, but a new book out called They Came to Nashville.
This is fabulous. I wish everybody could see where we're sitting right now. We're in the original building.
It's got some history to it, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. That 800-foot tower, it's just like a beacon. You feel like Loretta coming with
Dude? I feel
like
Loretta to pray. You know, I did. As I was driving down I-65 south from Nashville, I saw the tower.
Uh-huh.
And this must be the exit.
Yeah, indeed it is.
The towers make it easy.
Hey, by the way, before we go any further, Peter Cooper with a very nice write-up on both the record and the new book in the Tennessean this morning called Love Letters to Nashville. With new book and album, Marshall Chapman delves into the joys and heartaches of life as a musician. But you have been busy since we last saw each other.
You know, I've been way busier than I ever planned to be, but sometimes life just grabs you and you just hold on.
Yeah. The new record, and we'll get to the book and the event at the Hall of Fame in just a minute.
Okay.
But the new record is called Big Lonesome. And I got to tell you, it just, when you listen to it, and I don't know if this adjective is going to make sense, but I think you'll get where I'm going.
Give it a shot.
It just feels real.
Thank you.
It breathes. There's life to it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, the making of this CD, I really wasn't going to do any more CDs after the last one. I just thought, that's it. I deserve my retirement now. And I thought, you know, I was working on the book. I'm writing a column for Nashville Arts Magazine here in town, and Garden and Gun. And just doing that kind of writing. It's very quiet, reflective kind of life. And I thought, great. No more diesel fuel for me. And my best friend in music, Tim Krekel, was diagnosed with cancer. And he was my main man there. And I loved him like a brother. And I started writing songs. I was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. These songs were pouring out. And after I'd written about five or six, I thought, I knew what I was going to do. I was going to make a record.
Yeah.
And I was going to do it to honor my friend. And so it's the first record I've ever made where I wasn't really making it for me. I was making it for him or for whatever reason. But I felt other powers were at play there. It was like I couldn't help not make this record.
Yeah.
Just like you can't help not taking that next breath.
Yeah. Tim was from Louisville, correct?
Louisville, Kentucky. But he spent a lot of time in Nashville, and people heard him around here. He had a band in the early 80s called the Sluggers.
Okay.
They did a couple of albums for Arista Records.
Yeah. And he would have played with you back in the 70s, right? I think you go that far back or no?
We actually met when we were in Jimmy Buffett's band together.
Okay.
We were coral reefers together for a summer, and that is a bonding experience.
Well, I would think so, yeah.
Everyone should have that experience in a lifetime. Be a coral reefer for a summer.
Yes.
But, Jimmy had it down by then. We would hub out of cities, and I remember being in Washington, D.C., and riding the subway with Tim, and we'd go to the Smithsonian, and on our nights off, you have more nights off than on. Jimmy, at that point, was not doing more than two nights in a row, so we would go to movies, and we just became buddies. And then a few years later, Jimmy asked me to, I did that prison that we recorded live at the Tennessee State Prison for Women, and I was going to self-release it, and Jimmy said, well, let me listen to it. And then he decided, it was the first release on his partnership with Chris Blackwell, you know, that founded Island Records.
Sure, yeah.
Brought Bob Marley to the world.
So,
It's About Time, recorded live at the Tennessee State Prison. That album was the first release for Margaritaville Island Records. And then he asked me to open all his shows in North America that year. And so I had this band called the Love Slaves. And so I thought, you know, they had played on the prison album with me. And one of the guitar players didn't want to leave home. So I called Tim Krekel. I said, you want to be a love slave for a summer? It sounds good to me. So he got on the bus with us, and away we went. And by the end of that opening for Jimmy, Jimmy always likes to end in a in a real nice locale. So we were in Laguna Beach, California, in this hotel that just hung out over the ocean. And we were just sitting there, and we started writing songs. We wrote a song called Love Slave, and then we wrote one called In the Fullness of Time, two songs in an afternoon. And, and we've been writing, we wrote on and off from then until he died last year.
Wow. And his son is on the record, if I remember right.
His son, because the last song we ever wrote together was one called Sick of Myself. Uh-huh. And I was thinking, well, you know, I mean, I don't know about you. Do you ever get sick of yourself? Think, what would it be like?
I just thought to myself, when they released the Chilean miners after 67 days, I thought if they had to be there with me, they just would have imploded the thing and just said, no, we can't take any more of this. So, yeah I could see getting sick of myself a little bit, to be honest with you.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, you know, who would you trade place with for, like, if you could be somebody else for a day or just one or two days? Who would you want to be?
Oh, I'd want to be Bill Clinton for a day.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I was thinking LeBron James.
Really? Interesting.
Well, just to see what it feels like to fly.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, good point. Yeah.
And take it to the hoop.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. But anyway, in all truthfulness, I think what I'd like to be Tim Krekel. Uh-huh. So I sent him this sort of email that was, I didn't even know it was a song, just why I'd like to know what it's like to be laid back and cool, to play that guitar the way that you do, like your soul is connected to every string and the whole room starts swaying when you're playing that thing. And then within an hour, he emailed me back and said, I'd like to be you for a day, maybe two. I'd like to know what it's like to be regal and tall, to charm a whole room with that Carolina drawl.
Wow.
And, you know, and it made me cry.
Yeah.
Because the thing that's beautiful about friendship, our friends don't see us through the same lens as we see ourselves.
No, it's a much better filter.
It's a much better filter. That is so well said.
Yes.
and they will give you a break.
Yeah.
And that's why they're our friends. And I hope everybody that's listening out there has such a friend.
Mm.
That's my wish for you this morning. Yeah. Hello, Nashville.
That's Marshall Chapman. I'm Charlie Matos. Big Lonesome is the new record. We're going to feature the title track.
Great. Cool.
Big Lonesome, that's my name. Ever since you went away, things just ain't the same. Big lonesome, that's me. Until you come back home, big lonesome's all I'll be. I used to be a lone wolf on the prowl. I made the rounds to every bar in town. Since you went away, things just ain't the same.
That is brand new music from Marshall Chapman. Title track from the new record called Big Lonesome. Marshall in studio with us. Not only a new CD, but a wonderful new book called They Came to Nashville. And we will delve into that in just a moment with Marshall Chapman in studio. 6:50 a.m. WSM, Coffee Country and Cody just before 9 o'clock, and Marshall Chapman joining us in studio. I'm Charlie Matos. Bill back with us tomorrow morning. TallGirl.com is Marshall's website, and you can find out all the information on the new record, Big Lonesome, and the new book, They Came to Nashville. Marshall will be at the beautiful Ford Theater at the Country Music Hall of Fame on Saturday for a book release celebration. So, wonderful
at
book.
1:30.
1:30 in the afternoon. So, I must say, I started at the end because I was just so intrigued. I don't know what I did not know the story of,
oh my
the, of the Willie Nelson chapter.
Oh, you read the last chapter
first? But I went to the end first, and oh my word, what a ride, literally and figuratively, that was.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not many people get to ride on Willie's bus for 3 days and live to tell the
tale.
Yeah.
Now, the concept of the book, just tell me, it's rather simple. It's you sitting
right.
down with a virtual who's who in the music industry
right.
and sharing their thoughts on when they first came to Music
yeah.
City. Yeah. But Willie proved a little more elusive than anybody else.
He's slippery.
Yeah.
You don't get to be Willie Nelson by standing there and taking shots.
Yeah.
You got to know where the back door is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, procuring an interview with, say, you, for instance, mm-hmm. Charlie Matos. Yeah. When did you first come to Nashville?
It would be Pearl Harbor Day, 1990.
It's so funny how people remember the exact
December day. December 7th. And the very first person I met when I moved to Nashville, and I thought Nashville was just the most friendly city on earth, because the first person I met in Music City was then Mayor Bill Boner. Because
oh my
I was
God.
Going to work at WLAC Radio, and I didn't know where to go when I got to town, so I drove right to the radio station. And Mayor Boner was doing a week of fill-in with his then-wife, Tracy Peel.
Oh, the harmonica. Yeah, the one he played harmonica with her
yes.
on Donahue. I saw that.
Very famous,
with
yes.
my friend Tori Taff.
Yeah.
Hi, Tori.
Yeah. And we literally walked into the station at the same time, and my program director came out and said, Charlie, Mayor. Charlie, meet the mayor. This is Charlie Matos.
God, so. You should have been in my book, because nobody met the mayor their first
So that
night
was
in
my
town.
First day in town. Yeah.
That is wonderful.
How's that? So, but there's
That's a great, but everybody's stories. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Your first night, and I don't think other cities like your first night in Des Moines.
Probably not.
But your first night in Nashville, mm-hmm. everybody remembered and had the greatest stories. Mm-hmm. I was stunned, especially people who I know really well that I've hung a lot with, like Gary Nicholson, and he told me his story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never, you know, we've been on the road together and we had plenty of time to talk about it. But just, I had six questions that I think by the end of the book, there were seven questions. Mm-hmm. But things like, where did you move here from?
Mm-hmm.
What happened the first night you got here? Where did you spend the night? What mode of transportation brought you? That was my favorite question.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them, you know, like John Hyatt came in a 61 Corvair that had no floorboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved when he was telling me about it. He said, I just Fred Flintstoned on down to Nashville from Indianapolis. And you could just see somebody.
Oh, yeah. Pedaling with
And the car had some kind of problem where they had to put quarts of oil in it like every 10 miles,
wow.
you know, to keep it going.
Well, from John Hyatt and Willie Nelson to Kris Kristofferson,
right.
Rodney Crowell, Emmylou Harris,
and Miranda Lambert.
Yeah.
In there. I wanted to get a little youth in there.
Yeah.
But I had the privilege of interviewing her for a magazine called Garden and Gun.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wonderful. And then I was thinking, I had just started doing the book. And I thought, you know, would you like to sit down later? And I'm doing this book. And she said, sure.
That's Marshall Chapman. The book we're discussing is They Came to Nashville. There's a book release event at 1:30 Saturday afternoon, Ford Theater at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Come on down.
Yes. New CD as well called Big Lonesome. You going to do one live for us?
Yeah. Let's see. This is the last cut on the album, and it's a song that I wrote with Tim Krekel, for whom the album is dedicated. And Tim has recorded this on his Soul Season CD, and I recorded this on my last. But this is a live version that we went ahead and put it on this album, too, called I Love Everybody, I Love Everything. I love everybody, I love everything. I got no agenda,
I just wanna dance and sing. It ain't complicated, there's nothing really to explain, 'cause I love everybody, I love everything. We're living in a world of trouble, we're living in a world of pain. All I got to do is turn my TV on to see a world that's gone insane. I think there mightn't be a solution if people everywhere would sing. Help me, Charlie. I love everybody. I wanna hear it. I love everything. Yeah, now I don't care about the weather, I can take it calm, rain or shine. I never feel stuck in a traffic jam or waiting in the checkout line. There's nothing gonna get up underneath my skin or stop me when I feel this way. I love everybody, I love everything. Say what? I love everybody, I love everything.
That's Marshall Chapman live in studio on 650 AM WSM from our historic 1932 Tower Transmitter Building. And you are the first ever to invite me to sing. It's a little frightening thought, but
sounded good.
That's on the record Big Lonesome. You can find that. More with Marshall after the news.
News, traffic, weather, and true country music worldwide at WSMonline.com. And live on The Legend, 650 AM
WSM
Nashville.
Coffee, country, and Cody.
9 minutes past 9 o'clock on The Legend, 650 AM WSM. I'm Charlie Matos. Billy Boy back with us tomorrow morning. In studio this morning, Marshall Chapman. The new book, They Came to Nashville. The new record, Big Lonesome. She's also in a new movie coming out soon with a couple of folks named Tim and Gwyneth. We'll talk about that. We're going to feature brand new music right now from Big Lonesome. Listen to the guitar work on this. That's Will Kimbrough on the lead guitar. This is Mississippi Man in Mexico. 650 AM WSM. Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Coffee, Country, and Cody. 650 AM WSM.
Mississippi man in Mexico, how'd you get down here? Must have been a long and winding road, Mississippi man in Mexico, before you disappear, I want to know all there is to know about you. Yeah, outside San Miguel, the fires were burning, that moon so bright I thought I might go blind. You laid a feast before us at your table, in a field of cactus grown by your own hand. Buenas noches, Mississippi man. Still there, dancing in that cactus field, moonlight in my hair, tasting doves all wrapped in love, finer than a kiss.
Mississippi man in Mexico, sweet dreams are made of this. Yeah, outside San Miguel, the fires were burning. That moon so bright, I thought I might go blind. You laid a feast before us at your table in a field of cactus grown by your own hand. Buenos Noches, Mississippi man. Mississippi man in Mexico. Adios, por ahora.
Feel like I've been down to the Delta.
Oh, you have.
That
I'm getting ready to go.
Brand new music from Marshall Chapman and Will Kimbrough, we mentioned, doing the guitar licks on that. Boy, he's a treasure, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He is.
Mississippi Man in Mexico, that was off the new record, Big Lonesome. And I got to ask you, because the photo on the cover of this is just so striking. That's a wonderful shot.
Just one of the, you know, it's all natural light, and it was taken right here in Nashville at that a house I didn't even know existed called Glen Levitt that was recently given to the Land Trust of Tennessee. So if you look at it, it's never had a bad renovation. It's just been sitting there.
Wow.
Kind of like this building.
Very much so, yes.
It's renovation free.
Yes.
And it's been sitting there a long time, and it's completely pure. Big windows like we're looking at. People, you would not believe where we are. We are in the old WSM building because of the flood at Opryland, USA. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. Mm.
Who took the shot?
A guy named Anthony Scarlatti.
Wow.
And he's wonderful, and I would work with him again anytime.
Yeah. Huh.
He's a believer.
Yeah. You like the record? You happy how it came out? Because it just feels like
I'm
a record of the heart.
I'm happier with this record than any record I've ever done. I don't know why. And I think it's, and I think, I guess at my age, you can say this without bragging, I think it's my best record.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
It's just, and usually I don't want to hear something that I've recorded because you've been in the studio listening to it over and over again as you try to get it just right and ready. And this one lives in my car and I listen to it all the time. But I think a lot of that is because one of the hidden, you know, I didn't realize one of the things that would happen when I listen to it. I'm with my friend.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
It's like he's in the car with me. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why I like to listen to it, too. But I love the way it sounds. And Will Kimbrough, I went in the studio with all these musicians I had never played with before. And I think sometimes it's good to get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, and you've got a lot of that coming up, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Saturday, it will start close to home. The Ford Theater, 1:30 Saturday afternoon at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum.
It's going to be a celebration.
Indeed.
And my sisters are flying in for it, and one of my nieces. So
they
don't ever come out to Nashville. You know, I think they came out here for my wedding, and that's it. But you got to do something really extreme, like get married or die for them to come out here.
And then you're off to Mississippi for a Wednesday, November
3rd. Yeah, some people put out a new CD, and they go to New York.
No.
I'm going to Greenwood, Mississippi.
Greenwood?
And I understand there are three graves there all claiming to house the remains of Robert Johnson. Did you know that?
Wow. No, I did not.
And I'm probably going to go visit all of them.
That's pretty strong. That is pretty strong. And then on to Oxford and Jackson. And then you are back in Nashville doing another event.
At Davis Kid.
Davis Kid on the 9th. And then...
what is that? November 9th?
November 9th.
We'll be there.
Yep. And a Bluebird date coming up later in the month of November as well.
Yeah. So. I traditionally used to do a band date Thanksgiving that mm-hmm. weekend. And this year I'm going to do an In the Round. Mm-hmm. And I haven't chosen the other three yet, but I need to email them today. Yeah.
Yes,
so call me if you want to play in the round with me on the Bluebird.
It did say Marshall and TBA. Yes.
And TBA, yeah.
Big Lonesome's the new record, and They Came to Nashville is that new book that we're mentioning, too. So you came to Nashville for Vanderbilt.
I came to Nashville in 1967. I was a senior in high school in Spartanburg, uh-huh. South Carolina, and my mother and I flew out here. In my family, it was just a given that you went to college. Mm-hmm. And they all wanted me to go to a nice Southern ladies, women's college, like Converse or Sweetbriar or Agnes Scott. You know, I call those lady factories, yeah. Charlie.
Well, you do the voice.
They're
well.
Lady factories. They're still putting them out over there. Uh-huh. And I just, some guy that I knew named Walter Forbes, who had recorded two albums for RCA, and his family was in the same business as my family. He told me when I was 14 years old, you want to go to Vanderbilt. I said, Vanderbilt, what's that? And he said, it's in Nashville, and that's where you need to be, because he knew I loved playing the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And that just imprinted on my soul, and I just told anybody who'd listen, where are you going to college? Oh, I'm going to Vanderbilt. I couldn't even pronounce it.
Right.
And so that's where I ended up going. We came out here to look at it, and we spent our first night in the old Anchor Motel on West End. Was that? I think that had been torn down by the time you got here.
I have never heard of
that's
the Anchor
where,
Motel.
The Anchor Motel is where all the bands used to stay that would play the Exit Inn back in the 70s.
Okay.
It was,
wow. Sort of West End's version of the Drake over on
yes,
Murfreesboro
that
Road.
That is a very good
okay.
analogy.
All right, then I can picture it.
Yeah.
Then. Okay. Oh, I almost wish I had been there once.
I'm trying to think where it was next door to that beautiful Catholic cathedral that's that yellow brick thing with the Florentine architecture.
Cathedral of the Incarnation. Yeah,
yeah. It was next mm-hmm. door to there. Eddie Angel stayed there his first night in Nashville of the band Los Straitjackets, and he was playing with, I think they were playing opening for Don Everly at uh-huh. the Exit Inn. He said he remembers it because he had a beautiful white leather jacket, and it was stolen out of his van.
Wow.
At the Anchor Motel.
Huh. You mentioned earlier you did not write your first song till you were in your early 20s.
Right.
A good friend of Coffee Country and Cody has been a guest on several occasions, and so talented and so off the wall funny. I didn't realize Danny Flowers gets some credit for urging you to write back early in your career.
I tell everybody, Danny is the reason, you know, everybody knows Danny wrote Tulsa Time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's the reason I became a songwriter, because we were playing this steak and ale, and it was called the Jolly Ox. Because
okay.
in Tennessee, you couldn't have the name of an alcoholic beverage, some law,
okay.
in the name of your eating establishment. So the ones in Tennessee, it was out of Dallas.
Yes.
They were steak and ale all over the country,
oh,
but in Tennessee,
yeah.
they were the Jolly Ox.
Yeah. Good salad bar.
Yes.
Yep.
and they were in Green. The one in Green Hills, I had a band, and we were playing in there. And Danny was in my band for a brief period, and mm-hmm. we were having one of those nights where nobody was listening. Everybody wanted me to play Rocky Top.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
back in the 70s, these guys in those red polyester pants, mm-hmm. they're all drinking, and I'm out in the parking lot crying after about the seventh set, because we would play from 7:30 to 2 in the morning.
Oh, my.
And I'm yeah. out there crying, and Danny looked at me, and he said, Marshall, you're going to play these expletive-deleted joints for the rest of your life if you don't start writing songs. And I went home that night and started writing a song.
Wow.
That later was recorded by Jesse Coulter and Crystal Gayle. It's called A Woman's Heart is a Handy Place to Be.
Well, that's a pretty good night right there, huh? Wow. So
thank you, Danny.
Well, you got your guitar? You want to do one for us?
Yeah. Let's. I was thinking what I could do here. I'll do the song I wrote on, started writing when I was on Willie's bus. Mm-hmm. It's called Riding with Willie, okay?
And this kind of goes hand in hand with the final chapter of the book.
All right.
Yeah.
When everything's swirling round out of control, and everybody's down to their very soul, dancing to the rhythm of the universal whole. That's the way I like it. Q
Keep moving forward, baby, don't you look back. The journey never ends when you're running with the pack. This train's moving fast and there ain't no track. And that's the way I like it. That's the way I like it. That's the way it goes. The more love you give away, the more love that grows. Where it all ends up, nobody knows. That's the way I like it. That's the way it goes. Big wheels rolling down Interstate 10. I haven't slept since I don't know when. I couldn't really tell you what state I'm in. And that's the way I like it. Bobby and Willie play music all night. Sister and brother, what a beautiful sight. Songs long forgotten now seeing the light. And that's the way I like it. All right. That's the way I like it. That's the way it goes. The more love you give away, the more love that grows. Where it all ends up, nobody knows. That's the way I like it. That's the way it goes. When everything's swirling round out of control, that's the way I like it.
That's Marshall Chapman in studio, 650 AM WSM. The new CD is called Big Lonesome. The new book is called They Came to Nashville. And before you go, tell us about the new movie, as if you haven't been busy enough. You are featured in the new Tim McGraw, Gwyneth Paltrow film.
This has been a crazy year. Right after I started tracking the new CDs, I got a Facebook message that some woman who was a casting director for some movie they were going to shoot in Nashville wanted me to come read for the movie, and I should call her. And I thought, well, this will be a great column for Nashville Arts Magazine. I can write about the experience of reading for a movie.
Yep.
Because it will not go further than that. Because I have never been in either a junior high school play. Uh-huh. And I went and read, and I messed up my lines. She had sent me the script with my lines marked. Mm-hmm. And I cussed every time I messed them up. And she, it was just me and her. And she just threw the script at me and said, go learn the damn lines. Uh-huh. So I went home and I thought, oh, well, she wants me to come back. So when I went back, the director was there and one of the producers and her. And I had gone home. My husband would wake me up from a dead sleep. I knew those lines. I messed them up. I cussed. So I figured that's the end of it. They wanted me to come back. And so I came back a third time, and they'd flown in the money guys from Screen Gems. By then, my ego got a little bit involved. And uh-huh. I was thinking, well, if I'm going to come back three times, I might as well get the part.
Yeah.
You know, this is starting to take a little time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I really, you know, so I flubbed the lines again. I cussed. This time I hit the wall with my fist, and I left. And I got the part. And as it turned out, the script called for a woman in her 50s. Uh-huh. I can go there.
Okay.
Good-hearted. I've been called that.
Sure.
No nonsense.
I'll give you that. Oh,
thank
yeah.
you very much. Yeah. Foul-mouthed.
Oh, wow. Well, you just played right into it.
I just played right into it.
Wow.
And it was a great experience. And I was Gwyneth Paltrow's character's road manager.
Uh-huh.
And it's set in Nashville. Well, it's supposed to be in, it was shot here, and mm-hmm. it's supposed to be happening in Dallas and Houston mm-hmm. and in Texas. So, but Tim McGraw was my boss, and I got to know him, and I love him like a brother. He was so much fun to work with. And I don't know what it was. We had a lot of downtime, and I got to know him. And he is a great guy and deserves every ounce of success he ever has.
Country Strong is what it's called.
Country Strong.
And you tell me, November or December?
It's going to open in Nashville the 22nd of December.
Okay.
But nationwide, I think, January 7th.
All right.
Yeah, they say it's coming out. And I think for a second, I'm in the trailer that's, you know, and I heard it starting to play in movie theaters. At 106, if you don't blink, you will see me in a studio standing behind Gwyneth.
Okay, I have got the, we're going to come, well, we're going to go to the break, we're going to come watch it together. I've got the trailer up from YouTube.
Okay, well,
so we're going to find it at 106.
Don't blink.
That's Marshall Chapman. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, this was so much fun.
Yeah, it's about the fastest hour I've spent in a while.
Going home's going to be a letdown.
Well, take a few photos before you leave, okay?
Oh, God. I might come back with my camera.
All right. Saturday, 1:30.
1:30.
Ford Theater Country Music Hall of Fame.
If y'all aren't doing anything else, come on down.
You going to read a little bit from it there Saturday?
Yeah, and Jay Orr is going to be with me. Yeah. He's the moderator, but we did one before that got reviewed, and they said more than the moderator, he was my guardrail.
Ooh,
because he say something, and I just go off. You probably know about that too.
Yeah, the problem is I'm not such a good guardrail, so we go off the cliff together on my watch.
Thank you.
So, Marshall, a pleasure.
Oh, it was great.
That's Marshall Chapman.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.